Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents To Mary a Fae by Miranda Bridges, narrated by El Sonali and Aidan Snow. Chapter 1. Sabine.
If you want to piss me off, just tell me I can't do something, I say.
Gil throws up his hands in frustration, his lopsided grin disappearing in an instant.
I'm not telling you you can't go into town. I'm simply advising you not to.
My best friend beseeches me with his gaze, the warmth of his brown eyes melting the frost around my heart. I care about you and don't want to see you hurt. The word, again, is left unsaid. It floats in the air like a foul stench. I wrinkle my nose as memories of my last encounter surface in my mind. The villagers changed tactics that time, opting to use stones instead of throwing old fruit at me. The scar on my cheek is a constant reminder of their prejudice. And my fae heritage. Well, that along with my slightly pointed ears, superior strength, and heightened senses. As if I could forget being a half-blood. A Feyling. Ling meaning lesser. Lesser Fey. Or a greater human, depending on how you look at it. Taking a moment to rein in my anger, I brush away a patch of mud on my pants. It's a losing battle. Bits of dirt from my time spent gardening cling to my clothes, as well as my face and blonde hair, dimming its shine. I can't avoid the filth any more than I can my parentage. You're right, I sigh long and loud. I just keep thinking that if I show up over and over, it'll force them to deal with their narrow-minded attitudes and accept the fact that I'm a person, one who bleeds and feels like they do. It's not as though I'm completely fey. My human mother was a pillar in this community before she met my father. Whoever that bastard is.
May Willa rest in peace eternal, Gil says.
He bows his head, and his dark locks glide along his temples for a brief moment.
I think you overestimate the villagers' willingness to change.
I lift my chin. And I think you underestimate my tenacity.
No, I don't.
He steps up to me and runs his gaze over my face. It's leisurely, a slow and steady perusal that unsettles me.
I've never doubted the fight in you, only your ability to win.
My eyes narrow. Is that a challenge? He exhales and scrubs his hand over his jaw.
I know better than to do that. You'd get yourself killed.
I might be impulsive, but I'm not an idiot. Hurt creeps along my chest and burrows inside my heart. I want to stay alive more than I want to elevate anyone's low opinion of me. It's why I still live in the forest instead of in town. Gil flicks his gaze to the small dwelling behind us, my home since birth. In a clearing surrounded by trees sits a modest, single-story house with a steep roof designed to shed snow in the winter. The siding is made of rough-hewn logs, while the small windows are made of thick plank wood and covered in shutters. A trail of broken twigs and crushed leaves leads to the door.
I know, he says. I didn't mean to be insulting.
You were.
He nods. I'm sorry, Sabine.
It's fine, I shrug, portraying a nonchalance I don't feel. If Gil were Fey, he would have detected my lie.
You could spar with me by way of apology.
A gleam enters his eyes.
I thought you'd never ask.
I grin up at him. The only time we don't engage in a skirmish is when it rains or I have chores to do, hence the constant appearance of grime on my clothes. Shall we dance? Several moments later, I'm twirling my staff merrily while Gil glares at me, his breathing labored.
Tired already? I ask with a wink. What were you saying about me losing?
He shakes his head.
his smile from earlier reappearing.
Sometimes it's not about winning or losing. It's about being strategic and living to fight another day.
Only losers say that.
His eyes widen right before he ducks. My staff swipes through the air in the exact spot Gil's head was a moment ago. I spin around and raise my weapon once more. But this time, my friend is more than ready to meet my attack.
He slams his weapon against mine, the loud crack an echo in the woods.
If I'm not careful, Gil says between pants, I think you'll bludgeon me to death.
I purse my lips and shove him back. Not enough to send him to the ground, although I could. It's difficult to keep my strength under control when my friend riles me up.
Don't be a baby, I say. Besides, I'd never hurt my best friend.
He lifts a sardonic brow. I'm your only friend. The expression on my face tightens as the truth hits me harder than any physical blow. It's not that I wasn't aware of how alone I am in this world. It's just not something I want to hear said aloud.
All the more reason for me to leave you in one piece, I say.
Our wooden staffs collide once more, with me on the offensive drive. I strike Gil again, and he grunts, his arms straining under the force of each blow. The beads of sweat on his brow gather and fall with every one of my attacks.
Is that all you've got, Sabine?
Don't make me embarrass you, Gil scoffs. I'd like to see you try. If I used all of my strength, you'd be defeated in the blink of an eye.
Challenge accepted, I say. It's not exactly a lie, but a pang of guilt streaks through my chest regardless.
Make sure to hold on to your big stick.
His mouth falls open.
Was that a euphemism?
I swing my staff in a wide arc, forcing Gil to raise his weapon to avoid being struck. The clashing of wood is satisfying, as is my friend's bewilderment. My attacks continue without ceasing. I bombard Gil with a flurry of strikes and jabs meant to disarm him without serious injury. He's not unskilled, and manages a good defense, at least for a little while, until I hit his staff hard enough to send it flying.
Yield, I say, pressing the tip of my weapon against his chest, right underneath his teardrop necklace.
He dips his head in silent defeat.
The victor, as always.
I lower my staff and my gaze, unable to meet his. Maybe I should let him win on occasion to soothe his ego. But with me holding back my full potential, I can't be more deceitful than I already am by letting him best me.
You did great. Better than yesterday, I say.
It's difficult to recognize that when you're always winning.
I walk over to the fallen log where my backpack sits and sling it over my shoulder, sneaking a peek at Gil from beneath my lashes. And you're all right with that?
I'd rather lose than not be with you at all,
he says softly. The note of seriousness just underneath his tone pricks me. I've never viewed my friend as anything more, but I can't say the thought hasn't crossed my mind. If not Gil, then who would I spend the rest of my life with? No one else would have me.
Say something, Sabine.
The desperation in his voice has nervousness racing across my skin. When I remain silent, Gil approaches me, slow and cautious, as if I'm a skittish deer. Then he reaches for my hand and takes it in his. The calluses from his fingers graze mine, the warmth from his skin hotter than the blush heating my cheeks.
Please tell me what you're thinking, he says.
I shake my head. The golden tendrils that escaped my braid during my exertion lightly slap against my jaw. My thoughts hold nothing except disappointment for both of us.
Oh, I see.
He drops my hand and takes a step back.
It was a foolish dream.
At that, I jerk up my head to look at him, and almost wish I didn't. The anguish covering his handsome features guts me. "You're not a fool," I say, closing the distance between us. "It's that I can't stand the idea of you becoming a social pariah just because you chose me." He juts his chin in the direction of the village.
"I've never cared what they thought."
"We both know that's not entirely true," I chide him gently. "If you didn't care, you wouldn't hide the fact that you purchased goods on my behalf."
"I may not be brazen about the fact, but I wouldn't deny it if they asked."
I sigh and fold my arms. "I won't let you condemn yourself because of me. Besides, I saw Mary eyeing you the last time we went into town together. You have other options, and you should explore them."
"She's not the one I want."
"Gil, please." I avert my gaze, staring at the grass beneath my feet as though it holds the key to an escape route.
"You shouldn't settle for me. Not when there's a woman out there who sees you in that way."
From the corner of my eye, I catch him balling his fists.
"And you don't?"
"Not right now."
"But you could?"
he asks. Gil takes my shoulders in a tight grip, and I blink up at him.
"Is there any chance for me? For us?"
The fear of losing my friend combines with the guilt of giving him false hope, however minutely. My stomach churns with these emotions, both of them so potent I want to vomit. I've always dreaded this conversation, but now that it's here, I don't know how to repair the damage I've caused. "Gil, I swallow past the lump in my throat. It's nothing more than a ball of lies that's choking me. Maybe in time."
"That is better than no,"
I nod, unable to say anything that won't add to my ever-growing regret.
"Do you think..."
he swears under his breath.
"Never mind."
Curiosity piqued, I lift my head. "What is it?"
"Do you think your feelings toward me would change if I were to kiss you?"
All too acutely, I'm aware of his hands gripping me and his eyes boring into mine. The pounding of his heartbeats ring in my ears, and it's all I can hear. He's all I can see. Gil would never hurt me. Yet I'm frightened. Crossing this line will either solidify that my feelings will grow in time, or it'll confirm there's no attraction between us. At least, not on my end. And what would that do to our friendship? Kill it faster than an arrow to the heart.
"I'll only kiss you if I have your permission, Sabine."
"You don't have my permission," says a deep voice. "And if you fail to remove your hands from my future bride, then I'll remove them for you. Permanently."
Chapter 2. Sabine. I can't decide which statement is more disturbing. It should be the threat of someone cutting off Gil's hands. That's the most rational thought. However, I'm a tad more upset at the idea of being someone's property. It just goes to show my logic is skewed. After spinning around to face the speaker, I position myself in front of Gil, assuming a defensive stance. Over my dead body, is someone taking his hands? Or am I becoming someone's bride?
Focus, Sabine. The speaker is Faye. It takes all of my self-control to keep from gaping at him. He's gorgeous, much to my chagrin. Blonde hair, so light that the sun's rays make it look pure white. His emerald uniform is crisp and clean, without a speck of dust anywhere. Not even on his shiny black boots or gloves. No, the dirt wouldn't dare touch this male. His impeccable appearance is so far above mine that tendrils of self-consciousness eat at me. Staff in hand, I point in his direction. A minuscule threat,
but a threat all the same. The mysterious soldier quirks a golden brow. With him astride a black steed, he appears all the more taller, more imposing. The quiver of arrows strapped to his back only enhances the dangerous aura that surrounds him.
Be careful, female. You don't want to engage in a battle with me. That'll only cause you further embarrassment.
I lift my chin, defiance radiating off me like an unseen magic. Who are you, and what do you want? The fae's green eyes flick from me to Gil. When his gaze returns to me, it's brighter.
You're coming with me.
My laughter is hollow and mocking. I don't think so. The male tilts his head ever so slightly, either in confusion or interest. It's hard for me to tell. My mother told me a lot about the Fae when I was little, before she succumbed to illness. I distinctly remember her describing the Fae as stoic, with unreadable expressions that left you guessing as to whether they were about to compliment you or stab you. She was right. However, with this male, I'm guessing it's the latter.
What is your name, female?
Ladybug, I say with a straight face. Behind me, Gil sucks in a breath. Once again, the Fae looks from me to my best friend, his expression unchanging. The tension in the air rises and gathers like a heavy mist, coating my body in a fine layer. I resist the urge to rub the sensation from my arms.
I can see that you like to play games, Ladybug, the Fae says, his voice carrying the barest traces of humor. That'll make things interesting.
Gil steps up to plant himself by my side. His presence is comforting and familiar, unlike this Fae male who's saying things that make me want to run away or bash his skull in.
Good afternoon, sir, Gil says. Why are you here?
I roll my eyes hard enough for them to get stuck in that position. Trust my friend to be polite to someone who just threatened to remove his hands. That's why I immediately stepped in front of Gil. He wouldn't hurt a fly, unless that fly turned out to be a threat to me. Then he might shoo it away. That thought that he wouldn't immediately come to my aid rankles. I'd kill for him without batting an eye.
I've come for the female.
The face shifts his gaze to me.
Do not dawdle.
You must be insane to think I'd go anywhere with a stranger, I say, especially one that's Fae.
My name is Darian, High Prince of the Cerebral Court, and you will do my bidding. Whether that's by force or not is your choice, Ladybug.
This time I do gape at him. Not only has a Fae arrived at my home, but he's royalty. Although I've never met the male, I've heard the whispers surrounding him. They travel, even as far as my exiled ears. A renowned champion that's colder than a blizzard, and just as harsh. Hold on, I say, lifting up my free hand, palm facing the male. Earlier, you referred to me as your future bride. My hearing might not be as enhanced as yours, but I did hear that right. The Fae nods. Gil stiffens beside me. I want to comfort him, but I'm too busy managing my emotions. They're careening inside me, quickening my breaths and making my legs weak.
That's impossible, Gil says,
his voice full of restrained anger. The last time I heard him like this was when he yelled at the villagers who stoned me. His defense of me warms my heart.
She's a failing, he continues. Why would you want her?
Thanks, best friend. Warm feelings gone. However, it is a legitimate question. The Fae doesn't answer. Instead, he dismounts his horse and walks up to me, each step sure and confident. He wields authority just as he does magic, naturally and effortlessly. His proximity frees me from my stupor, and I lift my staff, creating a barrier between us. The Fae stops a hair's breadth from the tip of my weapon. He stares down at me, his large frame towering over my smaller one, encompassing me in shadow.
"You," the prince says to me, "have been summoned to participate in the bride games. If you win, then you'll be my future bride. As of now, you're merely a candidate. This order comes directly from my father, King Theron. It applies to every eligible Fae maiden in the kingdom, half-human or no."
"You're the prize in the games?" When Darian gives me a curt nod, I scoff. "Please tell your father that I am declining his invitation. I'd rather die than marry you."
The side of the prince's mouth lifts in a half-smile. "The feeling is mutual, Ladybug. Unfortunately, neither of us has a choice in the matter. Either you attend or your life will be forfeit." I grit my teeth as invisible walls close in on me. Gil places a hand on my shoulder and squeezes it in a show of support. This earns him a look from the Fae.
"You have to go," Gil says quietly. "Play their stupid game. Do whatever it takes to convince them that you're not a good candidate. And come back to me. This is the only way to keep you safe." The truth of his words can't be refuted, but they still hurt me. It's as though he's giving up too fast, submitting too easily. I shrug off his hold.
"I think you underestimate my distaste for the Fae.
And I think you overestimate your ability to survive." Gil exhales and runs his fingers through his hair. "You can't take on the world and expect to live." My mouth thins. "Watch me."
"Gods above, Sabine! Just think for a moment." Gil takes hold of my shoulder again, then releases it with a hiss as though I've burned him. "Ouch!"
I frown, watching my friend closely examine his hand. Meanwhile, the Fae stares at us with his gaze narrowed. He's too dangerous to lose sight of, so I angle my body toward Gil while keeping the prince in my line of sight.
"What happened?" I ask. Gil shakes his head.
"Nothing."
I slide my gaze to the Fae, staring at him with unspoken accusations written all over my features. His face is placid, void of any negative emotions that could land the blame at his feet. I'm not quick to dismiss him, but without any proof he's guilty, I drop it.
"Are you done making a spectacle?" the prince asks. "If we don't leave now, we'll have to make camp during the night. Considering the wolves that live in these woods, I'd rather not."
"You're serious about all of this, aren't you?" I search his gaze, looking for any hint of doubt. Finding none, I blow out a breath, full of frustration and nervousness.
"Fine. Give me a moment to pack and say goodbye."
The Fae bows his head.
"Make it brief. You're the final contestant to enter the games, and I'm eager to return to the castle."
Dropping my staff, I press my lips and walk over to my front door, resisting the urge to stomp the entire way like a petulant child. If I thought such behavior would change the prince's mind, I'd do it in a heartbeat. After shutting the door behind me, I sigh, my gaze sweeping over the familiar items. The quilts my mother sewed, casually draped over the back of a chair. The stack of firewood by the chimney that took me 2 days to chop. The threadbare rugs lining the floor on the way to the bedrooms. As minimal as this house is, it's my home. The place my mother raised me with enough love to make up for any material things I lacked. I blink back tears and head straight to my mother's room. Her journal sits by the bedside, right where she left it before her passing. I snatch it up and hold the book to my chest, as if I'll hear her voice by doing so. That's why I'm taking it with me, for the chance to spend more time with her, through her innermost thoughts. If only I were able to decipher the unfamiliar script within its pages. Gil informed me it's Alarian, the language of the Fae. I may not be able to read it,
but someone at court will. The prince has provided me an opportunity that I can't walk away from. It soothes my ruffled feathers at being summoned. A little. I grab my satchel and hurriedly throw in a bundle of clothing, a hairbrush, my mother's journal, and a few other things before collecting my set of short swords and their holster. The twin blades were a gift from Gil. He said it was so I could learn how to properly wield a sword, but I think he procured them for me so I'd always have something to protect myself with. Everything I cherish is on my person, leaving me no reason to linger, however much I want to. Even so, there's a thrill that races through me at the thought of traveling somewhere new. My life experiences are few, but this trip, for better or worse, will grant me exposure to the world beyond my meager existence. I close the door behind me and stride over to Gil before I lose my composure. Leaving behind my mother's things, the memories within them precious to me, isn't something I'm doing without a struggle. This might be the hardest thing I've ever done, as well as the most exciting. I turn to look at Gil. I can't believe this is happening. Just when I thought my greatest issue was my own race, this Fae comes along and demands I leave the only home I've ever known. It's not fair. My friend pulls me in for a hug, and I go willingly, ignoring the Fae's stare drilling into the side of my head. Gil's scent washes over me, and I inhale deeply, securing it in my memories. I'll be without friends in the foreseeable future, making this farewell more painful than it already is. Life's rarely fair, Gil says. I hate that you have to leave, but it's for the best.
How can you say that?
The Fae are your people, possibly more so than the humans here. I pull back to frown up at Gil and cross my arms, trying my best to battle the feelings of betrayal creeping along my skin. That's some twisted logic. Hear me out, he says. You're stronger, faster, and more talented than anyone. They'll never accept you here. Gil lifts his hand to trace his fingers along the tip of my pointed ear. Because they don't see you the way I do.
Which is?
He smiles at me. You're a rare gem with a value that isn't understood.
Gil,
I avert my gaze, unable to meet his directly. I should have told you how I felt before, and now it's too late, he says. I thought I'd have more time.
What?
Never mind. I shake my head, causing my braid to swing wildly.
Don't say anything else.
I agree.
The Fae Prince walks up to us.
I've overindulged you, Ladybug. Let's go.
Gil reaches for me, but immediately retracts his arm when the Fae's brow lifts. Remember what I said, Sabine. The Fae are your people as well. Learn what you can from them, and know that I'll be here when you return. I nod in lieu of speaking. Any words that I wish to impart threaten to choke me, so I wave at my best friend before spinning on my heel, leaving the Fae to follow. The male catches up to me in two long strides.
Where's my horse? I ask. You'll ride with me.
Halting my steps, I angle my head to peer up at him. I don't think so.
Darian meets my glower with a cool stare.
Well, I do. You see, Ladybug, I don't care what you think. When the king gives a command, there's not a damn thing anyone can do about it. If people refuse, they die. It's that simple.
Including you? His son?
Yes, especially me.
My face scrunches in confusion.
What?
Never mind. He clicks his tongue, and the steed trots over to him. The horse's coat is a shiny black, so dark it carries hints of a deep blue. I'm not sure which of the two of them is more attractive aesthetically.
Probably the animal. It has a nicer temperament.
Darian shakes hold of the saddle and swings himself over the horse's.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?